First John chapter 3, verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. It's quite a statement, isn't it? By this we know we've passed from being dead in trespasses and sins to having the very life of God in our soul. How? Because we love the brethren. Now this love to the brethren is not found in any natural man. This is a supernatural love. It is the gift of God's grace, which those who are born of the Spirit possess. It's not found in any natural man. An unsaved person can love their spouse. An unsaved person can love their children. An unsaved person can love their friends and relatives. An unsaved person can love their parents. An unsaved person can love their country. And how we thank God for that kind of love. What kind of place would this place be if we didn't have that? But no natural man can love the brethren. Turn to 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now the people who possess this love for the brethren are people who are actually born of God, birthed by the Spirit of God. This is above the capability of a natural man. Now, here's my question. First of all, who are the brethren? Who are the brethren? It's a specific group. And I can know that I pass from death to life if I love the brethren. Now, who are these brethren that the apostle is speaking of? Well, it's actually very easy to answer that question. The brethren are all those that God elected before time began to be saved. The brethren are all those for whom Christ died, for whom Christ lived, for whom Christ worked out a perfect righteousness for, and He put away their sins. The brethren are those who are born of God, born of the Spirit, given a new nature, the nature of a child. Now turn with me to Romans chapter 8 for just a moment. Several scriptures I want you to look at. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now those are the brethren that I'm to love. He is the firstborn among many brethren. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for the which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Now these are the brethren we're called upon to love. All those who are one with Him, who are sanctified. Both He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for the which cause He's not ashamed to call them brethren. Do you know the brethren have the Lord Jesus Christ as their elder brother? He's my Savior. He's my elder brother. You know, I've thought before, I don't have a natural brother. I've got three sisters. I don't have a natural brother. I've always wondered what it would be like to have a natural brother. But I got one much better than that. The Lord Jesus Christ is my elder brother. He is the friend that loveth at all times and the brother that's born for adversity. Look in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. His brethren. Those who are united to him. Those who are one with him. He calls them his brethren. And in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted also. Now you think of the words of our Lord Jesus Christ on Judgment Day. As a matter of fact, turn over there. Turn to Matthew chapter 25. I want you to see these for yourself. Matthew 25. Verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? When saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it to one of the least of these, who? My brethren. You've done it to me. Then shall he also say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when shall we be in hunger or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. When Saul is persecuting the church, the Lord speaks from heaven and says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now, Saul couldn't touch Christ. Christ was in heaven. But if you persecute one of the least of these, his brethren, you persecute him. And I think it is so powerful when the Lord appears to Ananias and tells him about Paul, who 3 days before had been on his way to murder Christians. He said, you go to Ananias. And Ananias went, and he said, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. Brother Saul. Now, the word brother actually means from the same womb. Adelphos, from the same womb. I was wondering, Delphus, if that's where your name came from. I don't know. I was wondering. From the same womb. That's what a brother is. From the same womb. And all the brethren came out of the same womb. The eternal counsels of God, being eternally united to the Lord Jesus Christ, always known in Christ, and they all have the same Father, the brethren. They all have the same Father. God's their Father. They all have the same elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. They all have the same nature. Partakers of the divine nature. They have the very nature of God. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the divine nature. And you know, they all believe the gospel.
Every one of them believe the same thing. You know, they don't have divisions within the body of Christ. They have different denominations and different groups. And some people that hold this and some people that hold that. Every believer believes the same thing. They all believe that Christ is all. They all believe they're nothing but sin. They all believe the salvation's of the Lord. They all believe the Bible is the Word of God. They all believe that their God is sovereign in control of everything. There's no difference in what they believe. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God who is Father over all and above all and in you all. Every believer believes the precise same thing. And they all have this in common. They love the brethren. Our Lord said, "By this shall all men know you're my disciples, by your love one to another." Turn to 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him." You can't help it. It is natural for your new nature to love those who are begotten of God. Now, the brethren are special. They're beloved of God. Paul said, "But we're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord." Every one of these brethren are beloved of the Lord. They are called by God. You see, your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. They're called by God. What's the scripture of? "The Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called." Called by God. Christ. The power of God and the wisdom of God. "When it pleased God," Paul said, "who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me." This is true of every one of the brethren. Christ is in them. Christ in you, the hope of glory. To fail to love any of the brethren is to fail to love Christ. How can you say that? Because the Lord said, "Both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one." For me to not love one of the brethren is for me to not love the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 13, when he was warning the Corinthians about eating meat sacrificed to idols that would offend their weaker brother, he said this. He said, "When you sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ." If I sin against the brethren, I sin against Christ. Now that's how important this is. We know we pass from death to life because we love the brethren. Now this does not mean that we don't recognize or acknowledge the sins of our brethren, because we know they're just like us. That's why I know from the scriptures you're just like me, so I know a little bit about you. I know a little bit about you. You're just like me. And so I acknowledge the flaws, the weaknesses, the sinfulness of my brethren. I mean, they're just like me. One thing I would like to say is never stop going to church because of the sinful conduct of somebody else. Don't do that. That's never a reason to leave because you don't like the way somebody's living. Who do you think you are? Are you really that much better? I mean, I'm not justifying anyone's conduct. I'm really not. If it's wrong, it's wrong.
But don't leave an assembly of the gospel because you don't like the way somebody's living. That's just a wrong attitude. Think of yourself, where you would be apart from the grace of God. Now, Paul acknowledged this. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 10. Or verse 11, I'm sorry. For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren. What do you call them? My brethren. By them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Look in chapter 3. And I, brethren, he's speaking to his brethren. He's talking about these people as being brothers in Christ. That's who he's speaking. He didn't say you're all not my brethren because of the way you're acting. He says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. You, my brethren, are acting just like unbelievers. If you'd look at them, that's what you'd think they are. And that's what he says to these people. So, when we're talking about the brethren, this is not talking about failing to recognize the sinfulness, the sinful actions, the flawed characters of our brethren because they're just like us. You believe that? You know, my sin is my enemy. You know, I'm preaching out of Psalm 23 next Sunday from the passage in Luke. I'm going to say some things out of Psalm 23. But when he talks about Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. You know who my enemies are? My sins. My sins are my enemies. They grieve me. They grieve me. I mourn over my sins. You know, that brother who's struggling, he grieves over them too. He hates them too. He hates himself for them too. That's why there's to be a feeling of compassion for the brethren. Loving the brethren. Now, we know we've passed from death to life because we love the brethren. They're Christ's brethren. And He owns them as such. They all have God as their Father. They all have been born of the Spirit. And the way love to Christ is expressed is love to His brothers. The way I express love to Christ is love to you. We know we pass from death to life because we love the brethren. And John said this, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. I love you. Those can be the most powerful words or the most meaningless words there are, depending upon the actions behind them. Have you ever had somebody tell you they love you and you think, well, I'm glad you told me. I would have never known it by the way you treat me. thanks for the information. Love is as love does. And he said, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. Now, what does this love to the brethren look like? Now, I'm going from the Scriptures. I'm going to show several Scriptures. But first, let's turn to the most obvious Scripture, 1 Corinthians 13. Read the first three verses without making a comment. Don't really need to make a comment. Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Charity suffers long. If I love you, I'm going to be long-suffering toward you. Charity is kind. It's not mean-spirited. It's kind. Charity envieth not. You don't envy somebody you love. If you love them, you don't envy them. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not a braggart. It's not trying to say great things about itself in order to impress you. You know, one man said, I've made more friends in 2 days being interested in them than in 2 years trying to get them to be interested in me. A braggart. Charity doesn't brag. It's not puffed up, proud, arrogant, and conceited. Verse 5, it doth not behave itself unseemly, rudely, shamefully. It seeketh not her own. You see, if I love you, I'm not going to use you. I'm not going to manipulate you. That's what it is to seek your own when you use somebody to further your own cause. Charity seeketh not her own. It's not easily provoked. It's not touchy and irritable and easily offended. It thinketh no evil. It keeps no records of wrongs is what that means. That doesn't account things from the past. It thinketh no evil. It doesn't hold a grudge. It rejoices not in iniquity. It doesn't rejoice in the fall of others, but it rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. Now, this word, you might want to write this down. It doesn't mean it puts up with all things. It means it covers with silence all things. If you love somebody, you don't want them exposed. You want to cover with silence all things. It believes all things. It looks for the best. It believes the best. Now, when somebody tells you something bad about me, don't believe them. Believe the best about me. And I want to do the same with you. That's what love does. And what it can't see, it hopes for. And it endures all things. It never stops. It never stops. It hopes for, it endures all things. Charity never fails. It's never reduced to inactivity. Not real charity. This is a supernatural thing. It's the gift of God. And look what he says in chapter 14, verse 1. Follow, pursue after charity. Now, do you want something to pursue, something to make it your aim and your goal? Charity. First John 3:23 says, and this is his commandment, that we believe on the name of his Son and love one another as he gave us commandment. If you want to obey the commandments of God, believe on the name of his Son. There's a commandment you can obey by the grace of God. You can trust his name is all that's needed to make you accepted. And you can love one another as he gave commandment. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. The way I got these things is it's the word brethren. Brethren. The word brethren is in all these things. But look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that's in thy brother's eye? But consider it not the beam that is in thine own eye. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Now, I was listening to one fellow preaching from this passage of Scripture, and he said the reason most Christians
have a hard time confronting their brothers about their sin is because they have such beams in their own eyes. And they feel disqualified to do it. And I thought, oh, so you feel qualified. You know, I'm proud of you. Congratulations. I mean, that's so... I bet you did. But here's the deal. Lord said, do not judge one another. Romans chapter 14, verse 10, Paul said, let's not judge one another anymore. But, no but. You see, for me to judge you, I don't have the information to get an accurate judgment. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what's caused everything. I don't know. And for me to judge you is to make a judgment when I do not have the accurate information to make the judgment. Secondly, for me to judge you is pure hypocrisy. Romans 2:1 says, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for you that judgest doest the same things. Now, how many different ways does it take that? Whenever you're judgmental toward someone, you're going to make them so mad, and they're going to see every flaw, every fault you have. And if you're not judgmental toward them, they're going to like you. It really is that simple. With the same judgment you judge, you shall be judged. You're hard on somebody, they're going to be hard on you. So if you want to love your brethren, don't judge them. Don't judge them. Secondly, while we're in Matthew chapter 7, turn back to verse 23. Chapter 5, verse 23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and thou rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before thy altar, and go thy way first be reconciled to thy brother. You get that taken care of. And then come and offer thy gift. Now, if you would love your brother, if he has anything against you, you go and be reconciled to him. You go apologize. You go humble yourself. You go ask, what brought this on? And I want to humble myself. Now, that's what the Lord says to do to your brother. That's the way it is. In Matthew chapter 18, you remember when Peter said, how often shall I forgive my brother? Till seven times? What a magnanimous man I am if I can do it seven times. My goodness. You know, I'm sure that's the limit. And the Lord said, I say unto you, not seven times, but 70 times seven. In other words, always. Always. There is never a time when it's okay to not forgive your brother. If I would love my brother, I'm going to forgive him. Now, this is life. Your brother is going to wrong you. Your brother is going to sin against you. Your brother is going to hurt your feelings. What do? Forgive him. For Christ's sake, forgive him. You know, it's easy to forgive when you remember your sin against the Lord is infinitely greater than your brother's sin against you. And he forgave you. Be ye kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 6 says, defraud not thy brother in any matter. Now, if you want to love your brother, don't defraud him. Don't use him. Don't manipulate him. Don't rip him off. Treat him with fairness. Treat him with honesty. James 4:11 says, speak not evil of one another, brethren. Love is best expressed quite often by what is not said. Speak not evil of one another, brethren. Don't be harsh. Don't be critical. James chapter 5, verse 9 says, grudge not against one another, brethren. Now, what is more ugly than somebody holding a grudge? So ugly? Holding a grudge, you won't speak to somebody? Or you withhold yourself from them in some way, I guess to punish them. Whenever you hold a grudge, what that means is you haven't forgiven them. Grudge not one against another, brethren. That's such an ugly way to treat anybody. Grudge not one against another, brethren. Don't withhold yourself. Now, how significant is this? We know that we've passed from death to life because we love the brethren. Now, is my love as strong as it should be? Of course not. Of course not. Somebody says, I can give you all kinds of examples in your life where you haven't measured up there. I know. But don't you want to love the brethren? By this, we know that we passed from death to life because we love the brethren. Brethren are special, aren't they? They're special. They're special because they're Christ's little brothers. You know, somebody was telling me that when they were young, they had an older brother, that if somebody even looked cross-eyed at him, his older brother would come and wear him out. Well, the Lord's like that. He's protective of his little brothers. He loves them. And remember this, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. May we all be enabled to be zealous to love our brethren. Make love your aim. And now we're going to baptize Ryan Vincent. I'm rejoicing so much to do this. I'm just thankful, and we're gonna remember this young man as he confesses Christ in believer's baptism. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask in Christ's name that you would enable us by your Spirit to love the brethren. Lord, let us exhibit the love of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Lord, let us have a love that never judges, that doesn't criticize, that doesn't hold a grudge, that forgives. Lord, give us this kind of love. Lord, we pray for Ryan. We pray for your grace and your hand upon him. How we thank you for your saving mercies. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. One final comment.